I'm real happy to share with you this morning some of the things that the Lord's been reminding me of. Some of the verses this morning have been real encouraging to me, and I hope they will be to you. I'd like to turn first to Hebrews chapter 1 and begin there, but there's a lot that have been inspired with today. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse, we'll just start with 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, different manners, I guess we'd say, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to speak a little bit of the thought that he upholds all things by the word of his power. I know that seems like a very general thing, and you say, yeah, we know that. But if you just really begin to meditate on these, on that truth, that by his word he spoke everything that we see, all living things in the earth and the universe and the stars and the plants and the water and the cycles of earth and the winds and the forces that work, all of this is, he has spoken into existence, he made the worlds, but he upholds it by the word of his power. One scripture is 2 Peter chapter 2. It says that, in verse 5, 2 Peter 3 and 5, excuse me. It says, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That same word that spoke it into existence, it's being upheld and sustained our world. The living cycles of the world, all of the things that are now, they're by the same word held and put together and kept and made to work by God's word of power. We can look at these things in specific. Let's look at more specifically. Look at Jeremiah chapter, let me see here, chapter 5 and verse 22. Fear ye not me, don't you fear me, God says, saith the Lord. Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, they cannot pass over it. There's a verse just like that. We're talking about the ocean now. The waves of the ocean, they're mighty. They're strong. You and I have no power against waves. Nobody can stand up against a wave here on earth. You can't do it. There are waves so tall and so high. They're very powerful. They have a great force behind them. They have tidal forces behind them that are forces that come from a gravitational pull of the moon, which is, when you think about that power, how there's nothing that you can do to stop that, but yet God stops it. God controls that. That's God's moon. He upholds all things by the word of his power. And we tend to think of it, that's just, the tides come in, the tides go out. That just happens. We just go down to the ocean and we just know it's not going to pour itself onto where we're standing. Not if you get back far enough. Who holds that like that? It says God has put the sand and made a perpetual decree that that's how far it can come and no farther. Look here in Job chapter 38. Verse 4 says, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" He's saying to Job, "Where were you when I did this? If thou declare, if thou hast understanding, who hath laid the measures thereof? Or who, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When all the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth, as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said," here he's saying, "I have a command that I've given to the waves. Hitherto shalt thou come, and no farther." That's what God has said to the waves. He upholds these things by the word of his power. "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place?" Who's doing all that? Who's commanding the rotation, the revolving of the system, the solar system, and Earth and the planets? Who commands those things? It's God. He upholds all things by the word of his power. These thoughts about the ocean. I'm not good enough at science to know the term, a scientific term, for stopping energy. Is there a term for that? I know friction. You can lay down, if you've got a runaway truck, you can put a pile of sand there. You can make the road rough. Yet, think of the things that it takes for people to stop something once it's going. What is the word when you can actually just... Who on earth can just speak to something and stop it once it's going? God can. That's right. But just think about the power. Sometimes we think how much power it takes to keep a jet in the air and to keep it going. But who can stop it once it's going? It's like mankind has figured out how to make things go, but to stop them, nobody can do that. You can't stand in. I remember hearing a story when I was a child about a boy who got so high on drugs that he had the idea that he could stop a train. And the train just went, it just went right over him. But he got out in front and he said, "Stop, train, I'm going to stop you, you big old bully." And he thought he had power to do it. But it's because his mind was messed up by the drugs. None of us can do what God can do here. This is when God speaks to something and he says, "Stop." It stops. When he says, "This is how far you can come and no farther." I find great comfort this morning in knowing a God like that. Don't you? And I believe that he gave us these illustrations to show us even greater things. He can stop anything. He can stop the power of sin. Think about this. Matthew chapter 9. They have a man that they brought a man to him, and he was laying on a bed. And he spoke to the man, and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And, well, they just murmured, and they talked about that, and they said, "He's blaspheming." And Jesus said, "Which is easier for God to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, arise, take up your bed and walk. Arise and walk. And he said, just so you'll know. I'm paraphrasing here, but I'm just thinking, if you could have heard God, Jesus at this place, I wonder what it would have done to you. Just so you can know that I can forgive sins, he said to the man, rise and walk. There, to Jesus, they were one and the same. I can tell you that you can get up and walk now, or I can tell you that your sins are forgiven. He's saying to them, I have the power to forgive sins. Do any of us have the power to forgive sins? We really can't do that. We don't have that authority or that power. And these words, power, they go into the thought about authority. They go into the thought about being commissioned or sent to accomplish something. We weren't commissioned or sent to do that. But Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And then I believe I said we weren't commissioned or sent to do that as far as the what God does in forgiving. But he did then send his disciples out. And he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions. And I'm thinking, Lord, I think that today we don't take God seriously enough. We don't appreciate the power that God has. We tend to bring God down to our level, and we tend to think of situations and circumstances and crises and places where there's, oh, we get in a panic about things, and yet God's there to call on. Jesus is just the same today as he was here. Let's look at, I just read one about Jesus and the winds and the waves, where he said, he commandeth the wind and the waves. I believe that's what it says. And they obey him. I just saw it, but I can't seem to find it here. If somebody can find that.
Luke 8:25.
That might be it. Yes, that's it. No, let's see. Yes, Luke 8. And we'll start at 23. As they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Thought about the winds. Great damage has been done by wind in the earth. He is the master of the wind. I believe that. The other day when we were praying, these thoughts began to come to my mind about praying against a fire, a raging fire. But yet I knew in my heart that God was, he was the master of it. He was in control of it. He can control the winds. Why? Where is our faith, he's saying? Where is our faith? Why do we doubt and why do we fear? I read some other scriptures about the winds. Nahum has one that's just really amazing. I believe he wanted these Ninevites that he was speaking to in Nahum 1 and 3. He wanted them to look to him as the one who had the power to save them and to help them. It says in verse 3, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind." Can we look at tornadoes and say this? That'd be awfully hard. The Lord has his way in the tornado and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Have we ever looked up at the clouds and thought, that's the dust of his feet? That's the workings of the Lord. That's where he's been. That's where he's going. Those are the clouds, it says, are the dust of his feet. He's in control. He has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. Another one in Psalms 106, I believe it is. Verse 25, he says, "He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind." So there you have where God brings a stormy wind about. He commands it, and it raises up to obey him. "And he lifteth, which lifteth up the waves thereof." They mount up to the heaven. These waves do. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Well, the people that are in the boats, that's how they do too. They go up and they go down. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. I believe in a God this morning who does this. I believe we've seen him do this in many ways. We've seen him do it with the waves of sin. I've seen the Lord take a man out there reeling to and fro as a drunken man, living in horrible wickedness, and turn him around and save his soul. The Lord can make the storm a calm. I've seen the Lord stop coughing. This is the thought this morning that has really just amazed me. Yes, it takes power to get something going, but in my mind I thought, only God can stop something. We can't stop something once it's going, but God can. He can stop a wave. He can stop wind. He can stop fire. He can stop a cough. He can stop a headache. He can stop pain. This is our God that we serve. This is the one that created. He upholds everything by the word of his power. And I want to ask you the question this morning that God asked Jeremiah. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And he answered his own question. He said, "There is nothing too hard for me." Let's find that, because that would be good for everybody if you have it in, if you can find this in your Bible. Jeremiah 32. Is there any soul that he cannot save? You say, well, yeah, those that have committed the sin against the Holy Spirit. So he limited that one himself. But other than that, is there any soul that he cannot reach? I don't believe there is. I don't believe there is a wickedness that he cannot stop when they turn to him. He said, when you turn to me, the veil is taken off of your minds. There's a great power in God's, the winds of God. I'm thinking about the winds of God. He has his way in the wind and in the whirlwind. He can bring it up. He can turn it. He can make it be quiet. Jeremiah 32, Verse 26, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, I believe that he was reminding Jeremiah of something, because Jeremiah had prayed in verse 16, when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord God, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. So then came the Lord after that, and he reminded him, and he said, Is there anything too hard for me? We can answer that question this morning. I believe that the Lord wants us to trust in him as a faithful God, but as a God of power, a God who's so powerful that he can take a raging storm or a fire and he can turn it and he can stop it. He can do that with sin. He can do that with anything that we bring to him. I can't stop my mind. I've had this happen several times lately where I said, Lord, I cannot stop the whirling of my thoughts. I cannot compose my thoughts. I need you to come and order my thoughts. And the Lord has done that for me several times. I thought about that in the scriptures. What is that? 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a power. God has given a power there to us now. I'm going to switch this a little bit. We can attribute and ascribe power to God. But God has said there's weapons that are for your Christian warfare that I've given to you. And this is what they can do. They can stop imaginations and powers of thought. They can stop them and bring them into control. Another thing, Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the power of the living word of God. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick or alive and powerful. If we can look at the way that God now has upholds everything by his power, speaks and has his way in the wind and the whirlwind and in the fires, and commands the waves to lift up or to go down. Now he's saying his word is alive and powerful, and it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now that is a power. We can't always discern that. We can read body language. We can think of how this person is always thought. But we can't always discern the thoughts and the intents of every person that we may even think we know them. But we can't do what God can do. God can discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God is quick, and it's alive, and it's powerful. It's mighty. And I thought of the scripture here in Ephesians 3. Just a reminder, I know that we're aware and know all of these verses, but we want to just lift our eyes today up to the Lord who is mighty. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory, and in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. This power that works in us, what is that? What is the power that works in us? Can you think of a specific thing that has been laid down in the scriptures that show us what type of power he's talking about? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. He wants us, verse 17, Paul is praying here for the saints, and he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We have to, and we should pray too, Lord, open up my knowledge of you. Give me wisdom or understanding and a revelation of who you are and what you can do. Because we need it. Because we limit God in our minds. We make God down to our level. And we need a revelation of him, of a knowledge of him. He said that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, my question was, when he said God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think according to the power that works in us, what kind of power is that? It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And the Lord could be just like he was with Job. Ask any one of us, where were you when I raised Jesus from the dead? There wasn't anyone. There were humans there, but they just fall down like dead men when they saw. They fell down like dead men when they saw that blinding light. They didn't have anything to do with what happened. There was such a power there that ripped open the earth and brought a man out of the dead, the death that he was in. There was such a power there, and he says, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think according to that kind of power, resurrecting power, earth-shattering power, the power that rolled away the stone. I'm so thankful this is the God that we serve. When we come to him in prayer, we need to have, and I pray that the Lord will do that, what he said here, that we will, our eyes will be enlightened, that we'll be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation when we pray for needs and circumstances. My God is able. The Lord will give us that with that revelation, how able he is, how powerful he is, how quick, how alive and powerful his word is. And that's many times when I'm praying for people, I ask the Lord to give them a word. Lord, give them a word. Because when I've got God's word on a situation, that's the end of doubts for me. That's it for me. When I have his word, it's like, okay, that settles it. We need God, give me a word. And it's a word that he's already spoken, but we need it. Many times we need it enlightened to our minds, inspired to our minds. Ask the Lord that with your children. Lord, give us a word for our children. I remember one time a child had a problem in lying, and the parents asked for a word, and the Lord helped them to think of a verse. They taught that to their child, and it helped them at that time. It was from God's word. So let's ask for a word. These things don't have to overwhelm us. We don't have to live powerless. God has given to us power. And it's from him. It's of him. It's by him. The things that we need in our lives, the things that we need to do, things that we need to overcome, he's got that for us. He can stop things that are already in operation. He can stop them. He can stop sin. He can stop bitterness. He can stop envy. He can stop unforgiveness. He can stop pride. He can humble people. That's a power. Those that walk in pride, he is able to abase, Nebuchadnezzar said, because he was living proof. He was out there just going and blowing, and the Lord just went. And after that, he said, he stopped me. He just stopped me. And look how he stopped him, made him like an animal for 7 years. He said, this God is able to stop a proud man and to cause him to quit. The Lord can stop affection that shouldn't be there for something. I read about a man who his aim and his desire was to become a music star, a country music star, and go to Nashville. And that was everything to him. He studied music and played music, and that was going to be it for him. But the Lord dealt with his heart. And his testimony was, he said, for 2 years, he said, the Lord took away my love for any music. I didn't play. I didn't sing. He said, because I asked God to change me. He said, he changed me. And then, after 2 years, the Lord gave him music again. But guess what? It was no longer a desire to go to Nashville and be a country star. Instead, he began to sing for the Lord. He devoted his life to singing for the Lord. I never heard of the guy before. He's out there somewhere. I think actually he ended up in Nashville. But he's not singing country music. Instead, he sings things that he feels are honoring to God. I know God can stop something once it's headed that way. He can do this for us. And this encourages me this morning, because there's situations that I know of where we just need the power of God to come in. We need to have greater faith to believe the power of God. And I'm thankful for what the Lord did on Wednesday for our loved ones. And my heart goes out to people who did lose their homes and their loved ones. Maybe they didn't call upon him. I'm persuaded the Lord had this kind of power, that if he didn't choose to save those who were praying, that his power would have been so great that they could have faced it with grace, that there could have been something good come out of it. If the Lord did allow them to lose their homes, I believe there would have been maybe a greater power exhibited in peace and joy that he could have given them, or salvation if they needed it. But today, I want to remind you that we serve a God who upholds everything by the word of his power, and he controls the winds and the waves.